This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP180 Weight Loss. They are the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. Because it works, visit EMP180.com and get empowered. It's Bish, EB, and JP. That's the three-man show this week as Cakes is on vacay. Join us right now on the Maps Warehouse Hotline. He joins us every Wednesday at 9 o'clock. It's Mike Rizzo, President of Baseball Ops, General Manager of the Washington Nationals. As we go in the clubhouse, presented by Burke and Herbert Bank, unexpectedly different. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Mike, every Wednesday we're kind of hoping that you guys are on a 3 or 4 game heater, and it just seems to be opposite. And it's a tough spot for you. It's a tough spot for us. The fans are pissed off. You know, media's breathing down your neck. You got to be frustrated every night. And last night was no different. Can you give us your recap of last night's game?
Oh, definitely, you know, frustrated, you know, pissed at performance and you know, that type of thing. You know, satisfied with the energy level, the effort, and the fight the team shows every night. I give them credit for that. And just the performance level is just not, it's not adequate. You know, we haven't been in this position for 9 years, you know, since 2011. We're 10 games under. We're not playing very good baseball. And the most frustrating part about the whole thing for me and for a lot of the coaching staff and the players is this is a winnable division. It's still a winnable division. We're going to be in a dogfight with the Phillies and the Mets and the Braves all year. And we think that we match up favorably with each and every one of those teams. And we've shown in the past, we've dominated the Mets over the last 7 years. I think we're 84-56 against them over that span. We're 82-59 against the Phillies, and this year we've played them both tough, and we get over the hump. But we're frustrated, but we still believe in this the talent level on this club, and we got to keep fighting, and we got a tough matchup today with DeGrom, but we've got Mad Max Scherzer on the mound, so I feel good about our chances.
Mike, I know I've told you before, I actually buy into your theory of back of your baseball card and the guys eventually going to perform the way they do. But have you ever had a year where you've had so many guys underperform in one season, especially with the bullpen? Seems like everybody other than Doolittle is having below average to, like, catastrophic year. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, the seasons like that are few and far between, but they do happen. And when that happens, you have to make adjustments. So, you know, we've seen that we've brought new guys in. We've kind of tried some new guys. We also have six pitchers on the disabled list, four relievers and two starters on the DL. We went and reached for Tanner Rainey, who, right. Showed that, he's got major league stuff and kind of a reliable guy that can throw it over the plate. And we think that he's going to, he'll help us. We went out and got Javi Guerra, who's a proven veteran relief pitcher who you trust is going to give you, throw strikes and give you a chance to win and that type of thing. So, you know, we're looking for all avenues to improve ourselves, bullpen wise, and as our lineup kind of gets whole and gets healthy, we feel that we're going to score enough runs. And, recently and lately with our starters going short within their starts. We've had to really lean on the bullpen the last four or five games, and I think you see the as you work the bullpen extended period, four innings yesterday when Sanchez went out, we had a couple, I think almost. Last game Sunday night, we had a couple of bunch. So, you see the bullpen being strained and taxed, and it's time for guys to show what they can do and see if they can make their money in the big leagues by performing. And so far, it's we have to upgrade the performance levels.
Mike, when it comes to bullpen construction, many fans, callers of this show, have criticized you, saying that the bullpen's not a priority in the offseason, that the Nationals tend to try and make moves maybe in June and July if necessary, that the free agent money is spent on guys like Patrick Corbin first and foremost and not relievers. I saw somebody tweet us today about Holland. Why didn't you guys keep Holland? He's having a good year this year. Talk about the priorities and the bullpen construction before the season even starts.
Well, yeah. I mean, you certainly have to allocate your resources in the best possible way. You know, we felt that Patrick Corbin was a necessity for us to try and acquire. We felt good that we could get him. You know, he's a all-star caliber pitcher. He gives us a big part of our big three and a guy we can run out to the mound every night and feel good that you think you're going to win that game. Holland, people forget Holland was a guy we picked up, mid-season last year and made him from a player that the Cardinals released, making a lot of money to a very valuable pitcher for us, down the stretch. He was a guy that we talked to, that we tried to sign. We just couldn't get it done. But we recognized the importance of the bullpen it's about asset allocation, and we felt that getting a starting pitcher like a Corbin that could pitch 200 innings for you was a priority for us. So that's kind of the way we allocated our resources in the off season. We felt we feel really good about having Patrick here for the long haul, and I think he's going to be a huge asset.
Well, he's a stud, no question.
Forward.
He's a stud. I'm curious though about you say so with Holland. You made an offer, it just didn't work out. There's been a lot of talk this week about Anthony Rendon and his future. And I just don't know how it works as a fan, and maybe you can kind of fill us in. Are you the one that makes an offer? Do the learners give you parameters? Are your analytics people saying this is the type of deal you should give him? How does it come about when you make that first offer to Scott Boras and to Anthony Rendon?
Well, all those things come into play. We do an analyzation of where this thing should be. How does it fit into our payroll? Long term, you have to plug those numbers in. And suffice to say that Anthony Rendon is a guy that we drafted, developed, signed, and watched turn into a star in front of our eyes. He's a guy that we would like to have long term. We're certainly going to be aggressive and try and make that happen. And hopefully it will. We have shown that we're not afraid to sign our own players. So we're not afraid to sign free agent players. We're not afraid to spend money on stars of the game. And I don't think Anthony Rendon will be any different.
Mike, let me ask you, sticking with Rendon, a lot of the fans that we talk to every day, and we talk to them every single day, they're afraid that the same thing that happened with Harper is going to happen with Rendon, where you guys say publicly, yeah, we want to keep him. And Harper even said he was interested in staying, but the better offer to him anyway was in Philadelphia. And, a lot of that was the deferred money stuff. So that's what fans think. The fans think that, look, we know that the Lerners and Rizzo want to keep Rendon, but if Rendon's going to get an offer where 20% of the money or 30% of the money is deferred, he's probably going to take a better offer where he gets all the money up front. Is that something that the fans should worry about?
Well, we've made deferral deals. We've made straight up deals. We've made a lot of deals. We've made a lot of deals for a lot of money. We've never been afraid to pay our own players, and we've never been afraid to go outside and pay free agents. Some deals we've worked out have had deferrals in them. Some we've worked out have not had deferrals in them. And if there's a deal to be had and both parties can come to an agreement, we want Rendon here and we'd love to have him here. And it also takes two to get a deal done. And we went out and got deals done with Scherzers and Strasburgs and a bunch of, you can name, go down the list of the free agent names that we have signed, and some had deferrals in them, some didn't, and some worked and some didn't. So we're aggressively trying to sign Anthony Rendon. We'd love to have him here as a national long term. And as far as the negotiations itself goes, I'm not going to comment on that, but we'd like to have him here.
Fans here are crazy, Mike. I'll say that. I've never seen a town so desperate to tank. Like, they want the Redskins to just lose, and I've never seen anything like it. And there are also fans that want to just wave the white flag with the Nats, and then a guy literally called in yesterday and said, "Trade Max. Trade him for prospects. It's not working." And I'm a fan.
Well, by the way, we laughed at that guy.
I'm a fan of the team, and that would just break my heart, right? It'd be hard to be a fan of the team if we just, like, our guttiest, gamiest player, just so we could, build for the future and acquire some suspects. That just makes me crazy. But this town is kind of in that frame of mind. What is your approach to when it's time to wave the white flag and, like, try to acquire more prospects, that sort of thing?
Well, you don't wave the white flag on March 22nd in the winnable division. I will say that much.
May 22nd. So yeah,
it is May 22nd.
May 22nd. Right. May 22nd. That's not what we're going to do. We're here to win the National League East. We think it's a winnable division with the team that we have, with the talent level that we have, a talent level team that everybody in baseball picked to win or contend for the division with 90 to 92 wins by every prognostication that there was. That's what's in there. We got out of the gate slowly. The bullpen didn't perform early. There are a lot of injuries early, but we're getting whole again, and we're certainly going to see what this team can produce.
The hitting has picked up, Mike, right? Like, I think it's like maybe six of the last seven games, I think you've scored five runs or more, so that's a good sign.
Well, yeah, when you get back your second and third and four and five hole hitters, it's a lot easier to score runs. We're still missing Matt Adams, which should be back in the ball club very, very soon, possibly today, if all goes well overnight with him, and Zim is not too far down the road. So that positionally will be fairly whole again, which is a good thing. And some of the back end of our rotation guys are getting closer to being healthy again. So that'll help our depth. I like the way Eric Fetty pitched last night.
Right.
McGowan came in a tough situation on Sunday night. I thought pitched fairly well for us. So like I said, May 22nd in a winnable division, we're certainly upbeat and positive about where we're going with this thing. And it's way too early to make those type of predictions and go to take that course of action.
Would you ever do something like that, though, with a guy that wasn't in his contract year, an iconic player, to trade him for prospects?
Well, I think that's a part of a much bigger plan than just trading one player. If you're doing that, you're in a mindset that you're going to, you're in a whole different scenario than we're at today. So, those are things that people think about. We went through a rebuild back in the day when things were much worse than they are right now with this baseball team, and that rebuild and that turnaround went very smoothly and very successfully.
People also think about managerial changes as we're talking to Mike Rizzo, GM of the Nationals. I'm wondering who ultimately would make that type of call, because somebody tweeted us today about the Colorado Rockies 10 years ago. Almost identical record to your record. They made a move. Clint Hurdle was let go. They brought in Jim Tracy. They made it all the way to the playoffs. Who would make that call?
Well, I think the person who makes that call is the one who makes all these calls. Myself and our ownership group as a unit make all the important and major calls in this organization. And I think that would be that would certainly fall into that category.
Mike, who's going to start in Hellickson's spot on Friday against Miami?
We're not sure yet. We could reach for one of our AAA pitchers in Austin Voth. He's got a little blister issue down there, so we're seeing how that works. Like I said, McGowan threw. I thought he threw the ball extremely well against the Cubs in a tough situation where he had to come in on a Sunday night game. So we have several options to fill in for Helly.
Hey, going back to last night's game, I know a lot of was made of the three-run homer, which Suero gave up
JD Davis.
A curveball, which is not his best pitch, probably his third mm-hmm. best pitch. And J.D. Davis hits, apparently this year, 429 against the curveball. We were just wondering, do the players, and I'm assuming so,
and by
get
the way,
reminded
Davey
of percentages game in and game out? I'm assuming the pitching coach goes through with this. Do they have the charts available? Because I think Jason said maybe he just forgot.
Well, Davey was asked about it after the game.
He said he was surprised.
He said he was surprised that Suero threw the pitch. So I'm wondering, where's the miscommunication there from the dugout to Gomes to Suero?
Well, it's, you know, the pitcher's got the ball. He throws the pitch. It's, you know, I've always said if you're not comfortable with the pitch as the pitcher, it's your ERA. It's not the catcher's ERA or the manager's ERA or the pitching coach's ERA. You've got to be committed to the pitch that you want to throw. So, you know, oftentimes with the veteran catcher and the young pitcher, you know, they'll follow the lead of the catcher. But you know, I think when you ask what the pitch call was and what the sequencing was. That obviously it was a curveball that they wanted to bounce, and they wanted it to be a chase pitch and not a hanging pitch. Mm-hmm. And but the young pitcher hung it, and a good hitter hit it, and you know that's a mistake pitch. It could have been a mistake in the sequence, but it was certainly a mistake in the location of the pitch. Because I know they were trying to bounce that curveball instead of hang it. But that's the risk you run when you're a young pitcher, just cutting your teeth in the big leagues, you know, pitching high leverage situations.
What does Mike Rizzo do in that situation? You don't have hair to pull, so a lot of people would like pull their hair. Do you scream? What do you do in that moment?
Oh, he was pissed. You know, he was pissed.
You know, you do. You're upset. Everyone's upset. The pitcher's upset. The catcher who called is upset. You know, everyone's upset. So I mean, there's no magic bullet to it or anything like that. You're
I'm just wondering what your personal reaction is.
He's like, cursing.
What's your go-to
curse
word? Does it start with the G? I'm guessing you're actually going to go GD,
no,
but maybe
he
not.
Says,
maybe
no,
it's an
no.
MF.
He says worse than that.
Yeah,
in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're angry and you know when things are going like this, you know that hanging curveball or that 99 mile an hour fastball, they don't foul it off, they don't pop it up, or they don't miss hit it, they square it up, and it usually leaves the park when you're going like this, as it did last night. But hey, sometimes you have to revamp, gather yourself and see how you can prevent that from happening again. And that's, you know, first and foremost in my mind, you write it down, you discuss it with the principals, the catcher, the pitching coach, the advanced scout, and you know, why did we do this? What was the thought process here? And that type of thing.
Right.
And you try to make it a learning experience from a bad situation. So that's what we'll do today. We'll sit down. We'll go over the sequence again. We'll ask why. And we'll hopefully, avoid from having it happen again.
Real Mike, quick, you know, it's a good situation. Banking on the cycle promotion. Roxanne D from Alexandria is banking on the cycle tonight with Burke and Herbert Bank. She's already taken home a $100 gift card. But if any Washington baseball player hits for the cycle during tonight's game, she'll also take home $100,000. That's courtesy of Burke and Herbert Bank. It's an awesome contest. People need to enter for your chance to bank on the cycle during next Wednesday's game. Details are at thefandc.com/contest. That's a positive, Mike Rizzo.
I like it.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it, buddy. Hang in there.
Thanks, fellas. Okay. Talk to you next week.
Okay.
What did you want to ask him?
There's a lot of questions. One thing I wanted to ask him is sort of it's a simple question, but sort of late inning situations, how often is Yan Gomes there, like calling his own pitches? How often is it coming directly from the dugout, pitch by pitch? Or is it just in rare instances? You know,
sounds like in this case, Gomes was calling.
Gomes was calling pitches. It, and he didn't have a problem with the call. The call was bounce it.
But remember what we said earlier. All right, so now we know what happened. Right, he was supposed to bounce that to chase it, right, based on the count.
Right.
And location kills pitchers all the time.
Correct.
Right, that's the pitch that Rainey threw. Location was bad.
Yeah.
That's the pitch that Suero pitched. Location was bad.
Right.
You can throw all the pitches you want. Doesn't matter what the speed. If the location's bad, these guys are professional hitters. Right. They're going to make you pay.
My interpretation of his response to Davey, he's never going to say anything bad. The second time he kind of alluded to it, it was very clinical. That's something that the ownership and we discuss.
Yeah, but my interpretation was early on when he said they were fired up. I like the response.
Agree
with all
you.
That was pro Dave.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. That was Mike Rizzo, the Nats GM.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We just had Mike Rizzo, the Nats GM, on talking about where the Nats are, 10 games below 500. Amy tweets us about last night with Suero. And this is where people have a problem with Davey Martinez and his choices as a manager. She tweets us, I don't care about what pitch was used. The bigger issue was Suero coming out for a second inning after being used a lot recently. He had a clean inning the inning before. Let him rest. Bring in a guy with a fresh inning. I was waiting for a run to score and knew it would come. And ultimately, he gave up three.
Yep.
That's where a lot of people question bullpen usage. And you know, Eric is saying, well, is a manager going to do anything different? He's got all these guys. Maybe they would. I don't know.
Maybe they would. Managers, but they're all consulting people. He's Menhart, whatever the guy's name is.
Yeah, Paul Menhart.
They're all talking. You could see Davey doing it, talking throughout the game to the guys. Not making unilateral decisions, you know, without consulting everybody.
Look, you can kill them today because it just didn't work out. But there was reasons why they went to Suero for the second inning. There's reasons why they went to Rainey late.
I just don't know how, Jim Rickelman or I don't know who people like, Buck Showalter or Joe Girardi, are going to come in and right away they're just going to start winning.
Well, happens sometimes.
I guess.
Hey, look, if you wanted to spend $4 to $5 million on a manager per year, you can get those guys.
Right.
You think the learner's going to do that?
I don't see him paying him off. I really don't.
Happening.
Not a year and a half of salary. If you listen to the beginning part here, we had him on, and he talks about yesterday's disaster, but then he starts talking about how the guys are responding. That's code for they're playing hard for Davey. That's code for he's protecting Davey right here.
Oh, definitely. You know, frustrated, you know, pissed at performance and you know, that type of thing. You know, satisfied with the energy level, the effort, and the fight the team shows every night. I give him credit for that. And just the performance level is just not adequate, you know.
But what if he means the performance level of the manager is not adequate?
Maybe he does.
At the end, I got a sense that, and it's, you know, it might just be, look, the learners say we got to make a move for PR reasons. We got to sell tickets. We need to give the fans some hope.
Maybe.
And
but
so
you know how the learners are. The learners probably don't. Look, Rizzo is in a tough spot because he can't really publicly back Davey that much to a certain degree because they're 10 games under 500. And he knows all the fans want Davey gone. But he also can't fire him because his bosses may not let him based on the fact that they would have to pay him for another
year.
Also,
he likes Davey and he handpicked him.
It's his guy. But his bosses, if his bosses say, I want Davey fired, he would fire him.
True.
But his bosses may say, okay, well, I don't really want to pay Davey for a year and a half when he's not working, and then we have to pay another guy. Who knows what their stance is on
that?
We're
speculating because he might actually want to fire Davey. Like, he might be up in
he wouldn't be saying these things then.
No, but He has to.
I'll bet
to.
You that. No, he wouldn't. There's no reason for him to gratuitously say they're still playing hard for him. They're still doing this. We like their effort. He wouldn't say that. He wouldn't need to. If he wanted to fire him, he'd do like he did right before he fired the pitching coach. And he talked about how they clearly were unprepared coming out of spring training. The bullpen wasn't ready. And then 3 days later, boom, fired him.
Man, these fans are crazy. He's just crazy.
Yeah. Because the reality is there is a fan base that is passionate about the Nationals when they're winning. And they're frustrated because last year was a lost season and this year is slipping away. And so that window, we always talk about windows. Who knows what the window is for the Nationals? The window may be closing.
Well, and the
that's what I'm not guaranteeing this, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is a middling team for the next 5 years, meaning 500-ish.
I would be surprised just because that hasn't been Rizzo's track record. So if it happens, it happens.
But some of these guys are getting older, and there's going to be holes to fill. Like, how long is Max going to be a guy that's giving you Cy Young performances year after year after year? Some people would say, and I'm going to give him the analytic benefit of the doubt this year. A lot of people point to something called FISP, I believe it is.
Yep.
Whatever the hell FISP is, says that Scherzer's actually pitching as well as he did last year, basically.
Well, I would be surprised because I would expect guys like Soto and Robles and Turner to get better. So the young guys that you have control over in terms of their contracts, you have control over those guys for 3 to 5 years, maybe 6 with Robles. So I would be surprised. Unless those guys are complete duds, those should be 3 guys you can really build around. Now, obviously, guys are going to get older, but if Strasburg stays healthy, he's still going to be very good in his older years. Corbin's going to be very good for, you would hope, for the next 5 years.
I just don't expect Strasburg to have a fully – he's been healthy this year. But
healthy.
I never expect him to have a fully healthy season.
But I think they have enough parts where they're not going to just go into tank mode. They're not going to be the Orioles. Right? They're not going to be the Royals.
Right. That's why I say middling.
Yeah, I would expect them to be better than middling, but you might be right. You might be right on that. But the Rendon thing, and that's the thing, if Rendon leaves and walks, well, fans should be pissed. Fans have a right to say whatever they want. They're the ones who pay. Mm-hmm. They should have a voice.
Of course.
But so I would understand why fans would be pissed off if Rendon walks.
I'll be
when
distraught.
When you say, and this is what Rizzo said, the performance level is not adequate, who is that on?
Players.
Just the players?
Well, of course the players are first and foremost, always.
Well, sure. But it's also on the manager. To get the performance level out of him.
Yeah. Listen, I don't believe.
Otherwise, why have a manager?
Listen, Davey Martinez is butt uninspiring to me. He's a zilch, a big zero to me. I'm just telling you, I don't see signs that his firing is imminent.
Let's say in 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from now, we're in early June. Let's bump it out 3 weeks. 3 weeks, June 10th. If on June 10th they are 10 games below 500 or worse, I actually would bet on them whacking him.
June 10th, on that day?
Yes, within the next 3 weeks.
Well, now you're saying until July 1.
No, within the next 3 weeks.
Between now and June 10th, you think he'll be fired?
My guess is that Davey Martinez, let's see, May 29th, June 6th. Okay, June 13th, I guess, would be like 3 weeks.
So you think he'll be fired between now and June 13th?
I think he's, unless they turn it around.
I don't think they're going to pay him.
What's turning around?
They're not six games back.
No,
six games back.
Above 500 in that 3 week stretch.
All right, so they cut.
They need to be less than 10 games below 500.
All right, so the next 20 games.
Yes, if they are still 10 games below 500 on June 10th, I think he will be gone.
All right,
this is my guess.
I see no signs of them firing him.
Well, my signs are they're just a bad team and they shouldn't be that bad.
But look, I mean, no one expected them to be 10 games under 500 on May 21st or 22nd, wherever we are.
Right. All right, let's bounce to baseball.
You can hear it in his voice when we talk to him on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
You can hear how pissed off he is. Yeah. I know he goes, "Hey, guys, how you doing?" But then he gets right into it. Yeah. He's pissed. He's a pissed off, Midwesterner.
Freaking miserable.
I mean, terrible. Pissed off Italian.
Let's go to Brian LaPlata. Brian, what's up? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, good morning, guys. I agree with JP completely. This team has some dark days ahead, mainly because of the pitching. Scherzer's going to slightly regress because of age. And I don't know if you guys realize this, but Strasburg has opt-out at the end of the season. He can jump off this sinking ship.
He's not going to opt out of his deal?
He has four, Yeah, he has 4 years, $100 million left. He easily can get down the open market going into this off season. Why would he? I don't know why he would want to stay here.
I'm not sure that he could easily get that in the open market, especially if he gets hurt again. Especially if he gets hurt again.
Let's see.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. I do appreciate that, the opt-out information. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
If true.
Yeah.
We'll assume it's true based on
go to the spot track thing or whatever.
No, yeah, but there's reasons Keuchel's not signed.
He's right. He's right.
Yeah. I told you, I don't think it's easy for him to get 4 years, $100 million right now.
But he's turning, if he opts out, he's turning down 40, 55. He's turning down $100 million.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to do that.
Who knows?
He's been homegrown. He's been happy.
I mean, I don't know. If he has a great year and he ends up with 17 wins
and
ZRA sub-3,
nobody could baby Strauss more than this franchise.
I don't know, though. He's weird.
He's a weirdo.
I could see him if he – let's say this is the year where he actually doesn't get hurt and he continues to pitch like he's pitched. He's pitched well. If Scott Boras tells him, hey, I can get you $30 million a year in San Diego, which is where he's from, and San Diego – I actually don't know how they're playing this year. On San Diego, they're supposed to be a team on the rise the next couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing okay.
With prospects.
I mean, they're over 500, but they're not going to catch the Dodgers.
Right.
The Dodgers are clearly
right. They're not going to catch them this year, but they're supposed to be a team on the rise.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
With prospects,
got a lot
young
of young
players
guys,
and stuff like that. Maybe he bounces. I don't know.
All right,
that'd be disastrous.
Let's go to Jeff. That would be a total disaster. Jeff, what's up?
Morning, guys. Love the show.
Thanks, Jeff.
I feel like I'm talking to friends of mine because I grew up in Lanham myself on Cipriano Road. If you know that road,
of course. I grew up on Seabrook Road, my friends. I was right around the corner.
Okay,
we knew one of the Ciprianos.
I never did. I never knew one of them. I knew the Dooleys. You know the Dooleys, Fish.
The Dooleys. I can't remember the Dooleys, but it's been a long time.
Anyway,
forget all that stuff. Yeah. I called about the Mets. The consensus every day seems to be that it's a little bit on the players, it's a little bit on the GM, it's a little bit on Davey. I think it's less on Davey than anybody else. I think it's more on Rizzo than anybody else.
All right.
And part of the reason why I say that is, like, if you look at them and you look at the Orioles, they have similar problems, which is they'll acquire pitchers. Mostly pitching is the problem, I think. They'll acquire pitchers with good records, and they underperform when they get here. And the same thing has happened with the Orioles. And the other thing is, guys will underperform for years, supposed to be good. They go somewhere else, they do better. You see that a lot. And that's
so why is that Mike's fault? If a guy comes here and underperforms, why is that Mike's fault?
I wouldn't agree with you.
Max
Scherzer hasn't underperformed since they acquired Max Scherzer.
No, but Scherzer is different. Scherzer and Strasburger kind of can't miss guys. I'm talking some of the lower-level guys like, they let go of Matt Albers or a Trinan or something like that, and suddenly they take off. And the Orioles had the same experience, Jake Arrieta and others. And then the Orioles will bring in Cobb, and he doesn't do anything. And the Nats bring in Sanchez, and he doesn't do anything. It's pitching instruction, not just pitching coach, but pitching instruction all through the organization. When you have guys that come here after doing well like Jennings and do crap here, or they're here and they do crap and they go somewhere else and they do great.
Right, right.
So that's Rizzo. That's Rizzo and not fixing the pitching instruction all throughout the organization, much more so than Davey or the players.
Yeah, you might be right there. You might
maybe
be right.
I mean, I don't know. So you really think weeks that they're in spring training that the pitching instruction is screwing up like a veteran who's been around 10 years? I don't know. I find that hard to believe.
Well, no, but when you hear all this stuff for years about how great Lopez, Giolito, and Fetty are going to be, and they turn out to be blah, and you get rid of them, what does that tell you? That tells you minor league pitching instruction.
Giolito's pitching well this year, by the way.
Well, first year in five.
And he's been a big bust for like 4 years.
I understand that. I'm just giving you the information.
Yeah,
I mean, he wasn't great last year for the White Sox. He wasn't great last year. Believe me, he was struggling.
But
I think the pitching instruction thing is, I think you're overrating, as Eric said, when you bring in a veteran like Anibal Sanchez, horrible with the Nationals this year. But last year was damn good for the Braves, right?
He didn't just come here and then our pitching instructors ruin him.
He's, for whatever reason, he's having a crap year.
He had an outlier year last year, and he's pitching more like he did in the other years.
All right, got to take a break. Phone number, you want to chime in, 800-636-1067.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I mean, what if the team loses tonight with Max and then they lose tomorrow? They play a 1 o'clock game tomorrow, I think, with Strassi. And they've got swept by the Mets up there for four. And let's say they're 11 games out or 12 games out. Actually, it wouldn't be 11. It wouldn't be 12. It could be 11. Does the team have to make a move? Just a PR move?
I think maybe you do. We're not to summer yet, right? And once you get to summer, usually the attendance goes up because kids are out of school.
Yeah.
I just was wondering, we're speculating. I can't go inside the learner's head. I can't go inside Rizzo's head. But if you're an owner and your attendance figures go down, because if they're losing like this, Eric has pointed out their attendance is like 5,000 down from last year. But let's say the attendance continues to bleed and you're in the summer and you're not playing very well, you might make a move just to make a move. It might be the managerial. You might also go the other way. You might overpay Anthony Rendon because you feel like you got to make some move to pacify the fans. I don't know.
I just keep waiting for every time I wake up and I see that they've lost or I watch them and they lose, I just keep waiting for a big move.
My sense was...
I think it's coming.
My sense was, listening to Rizzo talk, I agree with EB at first. It sounded like he's saying, Davey Safe, they're playing with energy. But then later on, he had such a generic answer about, well, that managerial decision would be one that's discussed with the owners, whatever, that, look, he may be in... internally frustrated with decisions being made and maybe having this conversation and giving him a little rope, because, you know, a few weeks back he was like, well, wait until we get healthy. Now we're pretty much healthy. Well, okay, let's see if you start winning with this healthy lineup, because now you do have the 2, 3, 4, and 5 hitters back.
They have been hitting better. I mean, you look at the run production. I think in 6 of the last 7 games or 5 of the last 6, they've scored 5 or more runs. That should be enough to win games. It hasn't been because of other factors.
I mean, they've won some of them.
They've won some of them, but they're still a losing record.
Somebody just pointed this out, and it's true. They're in, out of 15 teams in the National League, they're in 14th place.
Correct.
14th place. Correct. Out of 15 teams. Mm-hmm. The Marlins, who are a joke, that's the only team with the worst record.
And the Marlins, by the way, have won 4 straight. Kind of going in opposite directions.
Right. But when you're in 14th place, generally you do have to make a move. You got to do something. And like I said, it's not a panacea. Sometimes managerial changes don't do anything, but sometimes it does work out. And we just saw this in the NFL. The Cleveland Browns were a far better team once they whacked Hugh Jackson. They just were.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I keep waiting every day for something big to happen if they keep losing.
They've scored 5 or more runs in 6 of their last 7 games. Actually, that's not true. They only scored 3 2 games ago.
So in slightly more than half, actually, 4 out of 7.
Actually, no, I think that's right. I think it's 6. They won 5-1. Yeah, no, 6 of 7. They've scored 5 or more runs, and they're 3-4.
Right. And they've lost 3 straight.
Yeah.
And the guy who called up and said it's the pitching instruction, all right, who knows what's happened at the minor league level. I just can't imagine they just have a bunch of incompetent people.
Well, they didn't bring in Anibal Sanchez, and our pitching coaches ruined him.
Well, Anibal Sanchez, I don't think you can be real surprised that Anibal Sanchez is struggling. Okay, he had a good year last year. All right, he had a good team around him. Obviously a better bullpen with Atlanta. But look at his years in Detroit leading up to Atlanta. His ERAs in Detroit in the last 3 years of his deal there were 5, 6.5.
They were hoping he hit on something. They had found something.
I mean, maybe going from the American League to the National League helped him. Sure it did, but kind of an outlier with Sanchez last year. Everyone was surprised that Sanchez had a great year last year with the Braves.
Yeah. So that one's backfired. The Rosenthal move backfired for sure.
Sounds to me, though, when you started the segment, you said, well, if they lose tonight and they lose the next two, you wouldn't be surprised at all if Davey's gone.
I just keep waiting
I'm
expecting a move. If they keep losing, yes, I'm expecting a move. Every team will, if they're struggling, if there's a lot of expectations, they keep losing and losing, you're a bad team, you make a move at coach or at
Well, they're
manager.
Paying Davey so little. Like, I think we figured out they're paying him about $950 average.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's a free agent you sign and cut in 2 weeks. I mean, that's
nothing. $2.8 million contract for three seasons.
So they could do it, but, you know, do you think that the next guy, let's say they promote a bench guy, I mean, you think that guy's going to be really any different?
Not if the bullpen sucks.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're thinking.
Maybe, because, look, I keep going, it's a different sport. I understand that. But the Cleveland Browns, didn't they promote an internal
Freddie
guy?
Freddie Kitchens, I know. I don't know how to compare football to
baseball.
Well,
no, it was Greg Williams was the interim, right?
Yes.
Right.
Greg Williams,
who had
experience as head coach before.
No, but I don't think Greg...
Freddie Kitchens' job now, I'm saying Greg Williams took over for Hugh Jackson.
Yes.
Greg Williams coached him the whole year?
Yes.
That's right, he did, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's an internal guy. Again, different sport.
And I don't know how to compare football to baseball.
Sometimes it works out,
do a baseball analogy, I'll work with you.
Well, the baseball analogy that people keep bringing up is the Jim Tracy deal.
All right, that was 10 years ago.
By the way, the Cleveland Browns could suck this year. We don't know.
They could.
They could be 5-11. We have no idea.
I think they're a fun team to watch. They'll be on the rise.
Well, they're fun because of the personalities, and they're probably going to score a bunch of points. But we have no idea how that's going to transition.
I'm actually surprised, though. I'm pretty sure nobody's been fired in Major League Baseball this year, right? Have there been any managerial changes?
Well, they were butt close to firing Callaway, and then they played the Nats.
Usually at this point of the season, there are a couple guys that have been whacked.
Yeah.
I don't think there has been one.
I'll say this.
I don't think so.
And I've said it a million times.
I don't think so.
What Davey is butt uninspiring to me. So, I mean, I would get it if they did it.
Which of the managers was inspiring to you?
I don't know. Some guys, you just have more of a presence. But yeah, guys have more of a presence. They have more of a track record.
I don't know if he's like inspiring. This is not baseball's type. Joe Torre inspiring?
Well, those guys all have track records. I'm just saying, when I look at him, there's nothing. I don't see any attribute that screams out at me.
You love the club coaches.
That's because he doesn't have a track record. If David Martinez was 65 and had been to World Series before, but same personality. You'd say, yeah, he's got a presence.
When you look at Joe Madden in the dugout, you go, that guy's inspiring looking.
No.
He's wearing
glasses. Track record. I'm just telling you of what I can see. I see nothing. I mean, I, you want to fire him, fire him.
To me, it's the results. And
I don't care.
The results is what matters. Not how he looks, how he speaks, and all that stuff.
Well,
it's the results.
He didn't have any answers.
You
watch the press conferences after the games. There's no answers. We just got to play better baseball. That's all it says 100 times.
But that's what else are you going
to
say?
Well, the way the bullpen has been pitching, Max is forced to go out there and pitch 8 tonight. All right, minimum 7. And then Strassi's got to go out there and pitch a gem tomorrow. Just has to.
And they just need to cross their fingers when they hand it over to the bullpen.
Well, if they can just hand it over to Doolittle, they should be okay. But there's a lot of pressure on those guys to go deep. You can't go 5 or 6.
When did you dub it the poopy pen?
Maybe a couple years ago.
Poopy pen strikes again.
Maybe a couple years ago, yeah.
Somebody else tweeted us, said that they like to call it the do and the poo. Because you have Doolittle.
He's
right,
performing.
We got to get out of here. For Bish, EB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Grant Danny, next.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.